And I would say that our core conviction as a company is quite simple, which is that energy has underpinned economic growth for around 200 years, and we don't see that changing. So we've built and we continue to build a business around that reality. I'd say what sets us apart is that we're deliberately technology agnostic. We currently operate across three verticals, with a fourth incoming subject to shareholder approval. So royalties are only on uranium and
Got
natural
it.
gas,
And
with
natural gas.
and natural gas. Three of the so there's 19 royalties in total, 16 uranium, three natural gas. The three natural gas royalties are producing, as I said, modest revenue to the tune of $500,000 a year US. So nothing substantial there, whereas our actual gas business, which is primarily LPG distribution and systems out of the UAE, did a little over 16 million US last year. So most of our revenue, the real engine is Al Shola Gas currently, but obviously as those royalties come online, which we do expect, we have to be realistic on the uranium side, that's more mid to longer term. Point is, what we do is we take biomass waste that's produced in pellet format. It goes into a burner system. It's a large automated burner system, and it obviously creates steam energy. We then bill Fairfield Dairies for their steam energy consumption, so that's where we make the money. That project, the first installation, is going live in, I would say, approximately 2 weeks or so. We're currently going through automation, testing, commissioning. We expect to be online and actually billing the customer from about two weeks' time.
Wow,
Then we've also got,
congratulations. That's exciting.
I mean, and that's effectively something we started from scratch with that, with getting that contract in place.
JP and Fred from Fusion Fuel, good morning to you, gentlemen. How are you?
Yeah, really good. Thanks for having us, Andy. Good to meet
It's
you,
my
and thanks for your time.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Really interesting talk here. What I like about you guys are that you're quite different than just about anybody else that I do start doing due diligence on. But give me a 30, we'll start with you, JP. Give me a 30,000 foot view of the company, what you guys do, and why you guys are different.
Yeah, so I think the first point, it's a good one that you made. We are very different to a number of other energy companies out there because we're a diversified energy platform. But just to say, for those that don't know, we're listed on NASDAQ under the ticker HTOO. We're a foreign filer. We're headquartered in Dublin. Our current operations are in Portugal, the United Arab Emirates, and then also South Africa. And I would say that our core conviction as a company is quite simple, which is that energy has underpinned economic growth for around 200 years, and we don't see that changing. So we've built and we continue to build a business around that reality. I'd say what sets us apart is that we're deliberately technology agnostic. We currently operate across three verticals, with a fourth incoming subject to shareholder approval. So currently, we have utility gas in the United Arab Emirates, UAE. We've got green hydrogen engineering in Southern Europe, and we've got biomass thermal power, so biomass waste to steam energy in South Africa. And then we've also got uranium and natural gas royalties coming in as the fourth vertical. I stress, subject to closing of the Royal Uranium transaction. So really, what makes us, I guess, different on your point is, four continents that we operate or will be operating on. With the uranium and natural gas coming in, four energy types. We're generating revenue today through our gas business, and then our hydrogen and steam energy business is coming online with revenue very soon. But we're also positioned for that sort of mid and longer term growth. I'll quickly summarize our operating businesses. You asked for a 30,000 foot overview, so if there's no further
Yeah,
questions
go
about them,
ahead.
I've answered them here. So our operating businesses are Al Shola Gas, as I mentioned, UAE gas utility and systems company. It was established in 1980. It's got over 38,000 end customers. We've got Bright Hydrogen Solutions out of Portugal, so that's our hydrogen engineering arm. We've got our Biosteam Energy subsidiary. That's biomass waste to steam energy. As I mentioned, that's a joint venture which is owned 51% by us in South Africa. And then, of course, Royal Uranium, if it closes, adds 16 uranium royalties in tier one jurisdictions across both North and South America, Canada, Colombia, Argentina. And then there's three natural gas royalties that are already generating modest revenue in there too. On the financial side, we'll be posting
I have
our.
some questions about that. If we can just,
Yeah, go for it,
if I
please.
can, yeah, if I can go ahead and pull some stuff out.
Yeah.
So you mentioned royalties. Are your royalties only on uranium, or do you are they across all of your different industries or verticals, as you mentioned that they're in? And you said production, very interesting there. Are you what are you producing? What are your at what assets are producing? And that's important to me because I'm looking at cash flow.
Yeah, so royalties are only on uranium and
Got
natural
it.
gas,
And
with
natural gas.
and natural gas. Three of the so there's 19 royalties in total, 16 uranium, three natural gas. The three natural gas royalties are producing, as I said, modest revenue to the tune of $500,000 a year US. So nothing substantial there, whereas our actual gas business, which is primarily LPG distribution and systems out of the UAE, did a little over 16 million US last year. So most of our revenue, the real engine is Al Shola Gas currently, but obviously as those royalties come online, which we do expect, we have to be realistic on the uranium side, that's more mid to longer term. Obviously that's high quality revenue for us.
Okay. So some questions about all of that. What I love royalty companies, and the reason I love royalty companies is because they can be lean, very lean. They're just they're not expensive to run. I mean, you just and when the royalties do start producing, I mean, if you have a lot of them and you're layered appropriately, you just have cash flow always hitting, and you just more or less. You just cash the check. But really my question is I want to make sure I understand you. Your gas business, that's not exclusively a royalty business, correct? That is a production and service business. Did I misunderstand that?
Correct. Yes. Yeah. So in the United Arab Emirates, we design, engineer, and install central gas systems. And then we actually offer the full utility solution where we actually supply the gas in both bulk and cylinder formats. So Dubai is, technology's advanced quite a lot there. You can basically order your gas cylinder on an app and it'll get delivered in 15 to 30 minutes to your apartment or to your house. So that's the cylinder distribution side of our business. But then we've also got these large bobtail trucks that are delivering LPG gas to the apartments and houses and some commercial facilities like restaurants, which we supply gas in bulk to. So that's higher margin gas distribution, where a cylinder is slightly lower margin. And then, of course, we've got the project side too, right? So that's installations, operations, and maintenance of gas contracts. So again, that's that whole energy diversity side of things that I mentioned. That business is delivering revenue for us today, whereas we expect the uranium royalties and the natural gas royalties to deliver, well, some of the natural gas delivering short term, but the uranium royalties to deliver in the medium to long term.
Okay, so again, I'm just pulling on this because your name is very fitting, Fusion, Fusion Fuel. I'm chuckling, but okay, so who, where are the assets that are producing? I'm assuming they're in United Arab Emirates, is that correct? And who are your customers? Are you shipping? Is that LNG gas or is that just natural gas? And where are you shipping? I mean, is it just all to Dubai or is it
It's
around the world?
yeah, good question. So and I must stress, we see Al Shola Gas, it's an operating business, right? Whereas the uranium and natural gas royalties are assets coming into the portfolio. They'll strengthen our
Got
balance
it.
sheet,
Got it.
etc. But our gas business, to answer, is primarily focused in Dubai, although we do there's some it depends how well you know the United Arab Emirates. But we also supply into some of the neighboring Emirates, Sharjah, Ras Al Khaimah, and then also we're also currently expanding into the Northern Emirates. But Dubai itself is the big markets, right? That's where there's a huge amount of construction taking place. That's where the real demand is. For us, really, what's limiting us in terms of growth is just our ability to actually put more trucks on the road. We've ordered and paid for two. We generate around $100,000 a month in revenue from each truck that we have on the road. Such is the demand. But and it's LPG. Sorry, I missed that. It's primarily LPG, but then we also do some LNG in the neighboring Emirates.
Okay. And I know what the difference is, but just comment about the difference between those two.
So the
LPG,
LPG, yeah, I mean it's a more traditional fossil fuel,
right.
and that's what's in demand out of Dubai. Dubai is only LPG, whereas some
I
of the
didn't know that. Yeah.
neighboring Emirates are the natural gas side of things. Abu Dhabi, for example, is all LNG. But the difference is obviously the one is the manufactured fossil fuel, really, and the other is obviously the natural gas.
Yeah. Okay. So interesting here. Talk a little bit about the prices, because the prices over there are not the same as the price over here, correct?
Correct, yeah. So,
Significantly higher over there. Go ahead.
yeah, so not necessarily on the LPG side of things
Okay,
in the
I didn't know
United
that.
Arab Emirates. Yeah, it's I'm not sure of the latest. The pricing's actually been increasing recently with obviously what's going on in the Straits of Hormuz, the Iran conflict, or all of that. Our business has, just to say, we've continued operations as normal. We have seen a little bit of slowdown in gas demand recently because obviously there's been these attacks on the United Arab Emirates, right? But all of our staff have been in the office and on site, from a construction point of view, et cetera. Prices have increased, but I'm actually not sure where they stand. I don't know the prices in the US, Andy. So yeah, I'm not sure if they're more or less, but pricing is very competitive in the UAE. So
Yeah,
as is
JP, and
gas, typical gas for vehicles, et cetera.
Andy, if I can just jump in here, because you mentioned sort of the cash flow element, and I just want to tie in also with the prices. Given that we are a distributor of LPG and so on in Dubai, the key for us is maintaining the margin, the difference between what we buy and what we sell. So we're not actually sort of extracting it from the ground, or we're not in the extraction, we're in the delivery. So
Understood.
we've been able to maintain, even through these sort of volatile markets, our margin. And that's sort of the key. It's actually, even though the prices go up and down, we're able to keep our sort of net income sort of flat. And so it's actually, we haven't felt the volatility in the same way. You need a little bit more working capital when the price goes up than when the price is down. But actually, the end result for the business is relatively flat.
Got it. Okay, if you could comment a little bit about your assets, your steam assets, and your uranium assets. And steam, that is cash flowing now. And talk to me about that. And this is directed to JP. Talk to me about that, and then work your way into uranium. Because what's interesting to me, it sounds like you have these cash flowing businesses, and then your expansion is within royalties that are going to be hitting at a later date down the road, which is very lucrative. But the issue you have with royalties, you don't know when, well, it's just when they're hitting. It's just when they're going to hit and start hitting when they go into production. But chat, talk to me about that, JP.
Sure, yeah. So I think it's important to also just briefly, very briefly, hopefully, explain the history of the company, because we were originally a pure play green hydrogen company. Frederico was around when we de-SPAC'd in 2021 and onwards. In 2024, we're obviously facing some challenges in terms of growing that green hydrogen business. But so in 2024, we shut down our electrolyzer manufacturing facility in Portugal. And we brought in the gas business, which is obviously generating revenue today. And so our financials have certainly started to turn around as a result of that transaction. But we've then also realized that we can continue to grow the company organically, which is fairly steady. But someone might argue, even though our gas business is growing 30% year on year,
It's not aggressive enough.
we're a very small fish in a very big pond on NASDAQ, right? So
Right.
that's the simple way to look at it. So we've been forced to scale quite aggressively and obviously bring in additional subsidiaries, which really for us is it's been very beneficial to the growth of the company, but it means that we're obviously growing more aggressively than if we were just looking at organic growth. So we've got Bright Hydrogen, we've got our Schorlah Gas. We signed, it was around about August of last year, to that joint venture agreement the company set up called BioSteam Energy. We own 51% of it. Our first client is a national dairy processing company called Fairfield Dairies out of South Africa. So they're the biggest name in dairy in South Africa, for what it's worth. I'm South African, so hence the accent. But Fairfield was the first client to sign with us for us to install a biomass waste to steam energy. It's a containerized system at one of their facilities in KwaZulu-Natal, so that's on the east coast of South Africa, or fairly a bit inland, but on the east side of South Africa. Point is, what we do is we take biomass waste that's produced in pellet format. It goes into a burner system. It's a large automated burner system, and it obviously creates steam energy. We then bill Fairfield Dairies for their steam energy consumption, so that's where we make the money. That project, the first installation, is going live in, I would say, approximately 2 weeks or so. We're currently going through automation, testing, commissioning. We expect to be online and actually billing the customer from about two weeks' time. Then
Wow,
we've also got,
congratulations. That's exciting.
so I mean, and that's effectively something we started from scratch with getting that contract in place. Obviously, working with our joint venture partner who had the initial relationship there, we came in, invested in that business, and obviously that's what's led to this final contract soon to be going online. Fairfield's also got six additional sites that they want to roll out the same solution to, so that's good because we of course expect to start on the next one as soon as this one goes live. And we've got 17 odd projects in the pipeline, including those six. So that's BioSteam Energy, but you of course asked me about the royalty side. So I would say that we see that as our highest quality long-term revenue stream, because that's passive income tied to production and commodity prices, with no operating costs or capital calls at our level. Those uranium royalties are development stage for now, but the three natural gas royalties, as I said, are generating modest cash today. But as those uranium properties advance, that income should follow.
Do you have an
And
ETA on when the royalties will be hitting for uranium? I mean, is that going to be 2, 3, 5, 10 years out?
no, so look, some of our the and I, again, stress this is subject to the acquisition closing. So we're going to be holding an extraordinary general meeting, or EGM as we call it, in the coming weeks. The notice will be going out to shareholders fairly soon. Shareholders will then vote on the closing of this transaction. We'll obviously present them with a fairness opinion and valuation report, which we believe is very favorable for the transaction. But the point is, it's subject to that transaction closing. We can't specifically say when uranium royalties will come online. There's certainly some that are more advanced, like Shea Creek in Canada. That's a more advanced mine. Berlin and some of the others in operated by Jaguar Uranium, NYSE listed company. Those possibly more midterm, I would say, but I mean, it's impossible for me to pin down a date.
Got
We're
it.
trying to keep the market updated, as I mean, these are tier one jurisdictions, right? So the highest grade uranium, some of the highest grade uranium in the world is obviously coming out of Canada, and most of our uranium royalties are in Canada in that Athabasca Basin. So right where
You're on the fairway.
yeah, right where it's trending. But the point is that, of course, we can't confirm exactly, but we're seeing good progress. It's your top tier operators, your Cameco's, the Orano's of this world. So your top tier operators that are operating those mines.
Got it. Fred, let me ask you this. How many shares do you have outstanding, fully diluted? What's your share structure like? And then tell me about your warrants. Where are those written at, or options? Where are those written at? What strike price, and what are you currently being traded at right now?
Sure, happy to. So, look, our outstanding shares at the moment are 3.3 million
You guys are
shares.
tight.
Yeah,
Wow.
but I will note that with the Royal Uranium purchase going through, that will climb to 7 million, right? We're
Okay.
issuing 3.75 million for that, so it'll go up to 7, even though those 3.75 have a series of lockups over 18 months. So they're
Got
not
it.
all really traded. Even the 3.3 million, we have a significant number of, shall we say, friendly shareholders that are long-term holders. So actually, the real sort of free float that is actively trading that we know is substantially smaller than that number would suggest. But that means that, we have a market cap right now of around 9 million USD. With the Royal Uranium, we'd be at about 19 million USD market cap. The warrants, as you rightly pointed out, we have a substantial number of warrants. We have 4.4 million warrants outstanding. Those have an average strike of 4.5. So currently they're all out of money. In order for them to actually convert to shares, we would receive 18.5 million USD of capital if those were to occur. So obviously the warrants could be a dilution event for shareholders. We know that they are concerned, but at the moment, as I say, the average is 4.5. We're far away from them being in the money. And if they are, they bring actually capital that we can use to further grow our royalty portfolio. So we don't see them as necessarily a nasty overhang. One thing that's critical, especially in these sort of micro-cap companies, we made sure that the type of warrants we've entered into are very sort of, shall we say, healthier or friendlier. They don't have ratchets, they don't have anti-dilution provisions, they don't have repricings. They are plain vanilla warrants. There's no bells and whistles tied to this. There's no sort of we're not going to go into a spiral because of the warrants out there. So this was again done with some very friendly and supportive shareholders that we have. They've been done with primarily the sort of the same group. And so we see this as a very supportive ability the company has to raise money rather than being out there with ATMs and things like that that would potentially just cause headwinds. I'll give an example. We know that some of them converted warrants in December when we did a small capital raise, even though those shares were out of those warrants were out of the money, but we worked with them. They converted, and they haven't sold. Right, so it's a healthier way for us to raise capital than some of the more dilutive and nasty things that microcaps get exposed to. So we've been very, very focused in making sure we keep our cap table
The registry really
healthy.
tight. Yeah.
Yeah, and we don't have convertible notes or anything like that. Again, with those sort of nasty provisions and so on. The options that we have for, and I will briefly pull that up because I can't recall the options are effectively really it's the options the executives or board have and they total 400,000 options and they are struck at also the 4.5. We made sure that the alignment between the board, the management, and the warrant holders is in
All
line.
the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Got it.
again, that's how we look and so we also recognize that, and it comes out in our numbers, we have been loss-making historically. And we think this you were talking about the cash flow, and I want to note something that's important. All four of our underlying businesses, I'm including Royal Uranium as if it's already been approved, because we believe there's enough shareholders there that will approve it. They are all cash flow positive. They all cover their costs, they cover their needs, and so on. They're cash flow positive. So we have, and they contribute to some of the overhead the company has of the joys of being a public company, let's say. Over time, that burden's been reduced, and we had some legacy from the businesses we closed. So we're actually targeting that 2027 being the year that we would no longer need outside capital to support. In the meantime, we're very grateful for the shall we say, very constructive shareholders that we have that helped us through the transformation and into what we are now.
Yeah.
Sorry, Andy, I know that was a lot. I hope that
No, that's well said. Well said. JP, back to you. Let's land the plane here. If people want to know more information about you, and it's a very compelling model, I would say, and I think it's very fitting to your name, but what's your website? How do people get there? What exchanges are you traded on, and what are your ticker symbols again?
So just to good again, good to land the plane there. So ticker HTOO, trading on NASDAQ, and our website is fusion-fuel.eu, so not .com.eu, and then from that site you can pick up all the other operating businesses, Al Shola Gas's websites, Alien Fuels, which is our joint venture partner out there, and Bright Hydrogen's website as well. It's directly on the homepage. We've also got an investor presentation on the homepage. We will be putting out a new investor presentation as soon as our 2025 figures are out. So that's any day now. We're a foreign filer, so we have until the end of April for that. But we'll be putting out those numbers, and then as soon as we've got those out, we'll be putting a new investor presentation out. That'll obviously show a lot more than what our current one does. But again, fusion-fuel.eu is where you can find out more information on the business.
Gentlemen, I'll put all of that in the show notes, both on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify for all of our viewers and listeners. I want to thank you so much for coming on. Love to have you on again with any updates.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Andy.
Thank
Really
you, Andy.
appreciate your time. Thank you.
My pleasure.